Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the living word of God. Thanks be to God. Holy and loving God, pour out your spirit upon us gathered here in this space. Let us be renewed for the journey of making disciples. Let us be renewed to be your image of love and grace for the world. Bless us and all that we do this day, O God. Amen. This happens to be Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is one of those theological concepts that's really tricky and difficult to explain, especially to children. When I was first starting out, my son was about 4 at the time, and we were doing a children's sermon. And I was trying to talk about the Trinity, and before I could get much out of my mouth, you know the stories how you can compare the Trinity to an egg. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are like an egg. They're all three are one, but can be physically separated. Or then the Trinity is also explained by water can be water, but it can also be ice, and it can be steam. So these are some of the ways that folks try to explain the Trinity to children and to adults, really, as it really is a hard concept to get your head around. So I'm up there in front of the entire congregation, and my child blurts out, "Mom, there are two gods. There's a boy god and a girl god." You know, these are the kind of things you don't want said when you're in seminary. You don't want your congregation to think at home you're teaching your children that there are two gods. It just doesn't bode well for your theological knowledge in front of the congregation. Whenever my children would call God he, I would say, or she. You know, getting them to think about the wideness of God. So my son really thought there were two gods, a boy god and a girl god. We quickly changed that, I think. He's studying now at the University of Vermont, and on occasion we will have some theological conversations. My children don't generally like to go there with me because I guess I get preachy. I don't know. Go figure. It's one of those habits that's really hard to break. I was once filling in for a friend at General Conference. She was the reporter for the annual conference, and she couldn't be there, and I went in her stead. And there was an incident of racism, a really horrible incident at a restaurant that I was at with friends and delegates. So I had to write about this. I had to write about this incident, and she kept correcting it. And every time she would send it back to me, she would say, "Heather, this sounds like a sermon. It's not an article. You need to write an article." And I said, "Well, all I have in me are sermons. I don't have articles in me." But this text is the beginning of the Trinitarian concept by Jesus, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The one thing I do know and believe about the Trinity is it shows us that God is a God of relationship. God exists in relationship and invites us to do the same. And this text, Jesus really is inviting us to be in relationship, to be in relationship with one another, to be in relationship with God, and then to be in relationship with all of the world. Now that's a tricky one to figure out. It's a tricky one for me because what exactly does that look like, Jesus? You're telling me to go, therefore, and tell people all about me. I don't know about you, but that word evangelism isn't high on my priority list of to-do things. Evangelism, the way it's been seen and the way it's been done, has been hurtful. In this text, Jesus never says, go make disciples who look just like you. That's not what Jesus is asking us to do. And yet evangelism has been done just like that. Have you ever read the book, The Poisonwood Bible? It's a great book. Who? Kingsolver. Barbara Kingsolver. I just had a memory thing right there. But this book is a really good book. It's about this missionary in the 50s and his family. And it's written from all the perspectives. Well, this missionary goes to Africa to convert people. But unfortunately, what he's trying to do is get the people who live in Africa to behave just like him. And over the years of him being there, he's trying to get people to come down to the river to be baptized. And over and over and over again, they won't come. Over and over again, they all say no, they absolutely refuse. So he assumes that they're all just heathens, that they're all just bad people who don't want to be baptized and they don't want to follow Jesus and they don't want to conform to the ways of the church. It isn't until much, much later, when the river floods, does he understand that people are terrified of the river. But he never asked. He never asked. He just tried to make people just like him. And when they wouldn't, he assumed that they were just bad people. That's one way that the church has done evangelism. There's other ways to do evangelism. I heard this definition of evangelism once is one beggar giving another beggar a loaf of bread. That's evangelism. So how are we going to do it? Today, we're having an open house at UMC West. Today, we are going, therefore, as Jesus calls us to, into a new community and being the message of God's love for the world in a new place. Jesus says, go therefore. Unfortunately, the church for so long has been waiting for people to come to it. And that's no longer going to happen like it used to. So now we need to go therefore, just like Jesus calls us to. And we don't have to be perfect at this. We don't have to have all the answers. Remember at the beginning of the scripture when Jesus shows up on the mountain, some of them worshiped him and some of them doubted. And he sent all of them, the doubters, the believers, the ones who had questions, the ones who were strong in their conviction, sent all of them into the world to be in relationship with people, and that's exactly what we're going to do at UMC West. At UMC West, we're going to be present in the community, building relationships with our neighbors in all places, so that hopefully lives can be transformed in the name of God. Not through making people look, act, or talk, or sound just like us, but helping them to be everything that God has created them to be. And together we can do that. Together our feet can move into the neighborhood and be present for people, however God leads us. Will you join me? Will you join us? Will you be a part of this mission that Jesus has called us to, the Great Commission, about going into the world? Where can your feet take you today? I think we think of sharing our faith as something bigger than it needs to be. It's first about building relationships, and then second, about remembering the love of God that unites us. And talking about it as authentically and honestly as we've experienced it. May we go, therefore, and have the courage to be the disciples, not always perfect, but always willing to be in relationship with God, one another, and our neighbors. Amen.